Good morning and welcome. This is Heidi, your weight loss mentor for your weight, right body, right life weight loss journey. I'd like to open with this beautiful, just a tiny piece of a reading I did today, and it says, "Success comes not from being timid, but from committing yourself fully to realizing your dream or your vision. Hold the clear intention of success, and it shall come about." And I just loved that, and I thought it was so pertinent to today's call because we'll be working with the vision and awareness and commitment and choice. And we will talk about how making a firm choice makes your vision clear, and then we'll talk about backing it up with action to match your vision. We're also going to uncover personal triggers and learn to stop before they sabotage. We'll be doing a bit of repatterning to be in tune with and attracting what you really want, and releasing old patterns keeping you from maintaining your weight loss or reaching your vision and being able to maintain that. In the past, on a diet, did you feel deprived? So everybody's hands went up. And who now on this particular eating program, and just, you know, we're into it only a few weeks, who's feeling deprived? So about half of you and half of you not. And so I want to talk a little bit about that because deprivation is a mindset shift. And I've done extensive research on this because, you know, some people are of the school of like, oh, you hear that if you go on a deprivation diet, then you'll binge after and you gain all your weight back. And so there has been really specific research done on this. Like, is it best to have all moderation and all kinds of foods? And does that help more? And, you know, I have gone to many, many lengths to study these things to see what's best for myself and for you for the longevity. And part of deprivation is a mindset. And I want to give you an example of that. My husband, as a child, was really poverty-stricken, so was I. But his family would not have a lot of food in the house, or they'd have, like, you know, 99-cent hamburgers where you could go to Burger King or something like that, or they had a lot of pasta because it's cheap and you can get that at the food bank. And so his sisters actually hung pictures of fruit on their walls. Like, that was what was exciting to them, fresh fruit. They would put pictures of fruit bowls and strawberries. And so if you ask them what they were deprived of, they would say healthy food. They would say fruit. And so can you see that that's a different mindset than maybe where you're at now? So they were deprived of the things that we're eating now abundantly, right? So that's an example of deprivation isn't true or false. It's a mindset. And so I want to give you another example of this, which was, for me, hilarious. And I'm going to share a little story with you. I have two daughters. One is 12 and one is 15. Now, these kids go to regular school, and so they're around other kids that eat however they eat. And I teach my children to eat their three meals a day, which is what I am teaching you. To me, that's basic nutrition. And this is part of our program, and so this is really pertinent of what you'll be learning. Like, if it is my heart to instill in you that this is basic nutrition, this is fuel for your car, this is what your body needs to function, to be healthy, to be vibrant, to be young. And so I teach my kids, eat these three basic meals a day, and then have whatever you want. Have your popcorn, have your ice cream, have whatever you want. That's extra food. It's not fuel. It's not necessary. It's for different reasons. And so they've learned this, and, you know, they've never been deprived of treats or, you know, anything else. I don't keep it a lot in the house, but, you know, we go out for ice cream or go, you know, do things that they want. My 12-year-old is in Seattle at her grandma's, and I got a text yesterday. And I just found it so funny and so pertinent to today's call. She texts me, like, ah, A-A-H, you know, 12 more days of non-organic food. How can I live? Exclamation point and a sad face. And I laughed. And I texted her back and said, you're so funny. I'm glad you appreciate our food style. She texts me back, yes, my head hurts, and my daily meals are, and she posts it like we do on Club Shed, breakfast, sugar and flour, snack, salt and sugar. Lunch, salt. Dinner, salt and sugar and flour. Ah, my head hurts. So I was just laughing because this is how your mindset can change. Here's a 12-year-old girl that knows the basics of eating. She's not deprived of eating other things. She's on maintenance. She's on maintenance, which you will get to one day. And she's feeling deprived of the healthy food she eats at home. She's getting to eat whatever she wants there, but she wants what's healthy. And so I just want to invite you into the space that deprivation is a state of mind. That maybe what you're depriving yourself of is being overweight. Maybe you're depriving yourself of joint pain. Maybe you're depriving yourself of low self-esteem. Maybe you're depriving yourself of diabetes someday. Maybe you're depriving yourself of high cholesterol. You know, what are you really depriving yourself of when you choose to eat healthy? And so I would love to know if anybody feels inspired to comment on that.
So it's funny because, like, the first week I was, like, totally gung-ho, like, so much motivation. I had, like, no temptation, nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, just, it was, like, I didn't even think about it. I had prepared in advance. I was totally good. And then the second week, things got mixed up a little bit and, you know, just really long work days and blah, blah, blah. And I still had all my food prepared. I was still prepared. But things weren't quite as kind of structured as they had been the first week.
Yeah.
And so, like, I found myself over the last couple of days, like, and I don't want to trigger anybody, but, like, you know, dreaming of, like, pizza or lasagna or whatever, right? Like, I was reading a book, and in the book, is a sci-fi book, like a YA sci-fi book, and
yeah.
They were, like, talking about, like, you know, like, they could swallow a pill, and it had perfect nutrition and perfect everything, but it tasted like lasagna in your mouth. And so, right,
I love it.
Not too many calories, you get everything you're supposed to, but you have the sensation of lasagna.
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't know. I guess that must have triggered me because then I'm going, oh, pasta and, like, pizza and all this stuff, which mm-hmm. I don't eat that much of that stuff anyway, but it just got in my head.
Yeah.
And so last night I was like, oh, I really miss, like, pasta. And I haven't really been missing sugar, which is interesting because I'm a sugar hound. And
yeah.
I haven't been missing sugar, but I was missing this other stuff. And so I had to raise my hand and say, yes, I have been feeling deprived, but you're right that I kind of shifted from, you know what? I can have that sometime. It's not like
yeah.
I can't have it right now, and I'm making that choice for me,
mm-hmm.
but it's not like I can never have it. And, oh, my God, if I were to have a bite of pasta tomorrow, it's not like I'm going to get kicked off the planet. Heidi's never going to ever speak to me again, right?
Right.
So it's not that I couldn't do it, but that I'm choosing not to. But, I, like I said, I'd be lying if I didn't say, well, could I have a gluten-free pizza?
Right.
And I'm like, and I, again, I had to remind myself, I can have whatever I want, but right now I'm making a choice to do this plan right now.
I love that. I love that you shared that. I love where you went in your head with saying, yeah, I can have that and the choice. And everything you spoke of is so perfect for today's call because one is a trigger. So we're going to talk about triggers because we get triggered in different ways. Some people are really visual, so by seeing a piece of food that they really want, it can trigger the thought, and then the thought gets carried away, and you got triggered by reading something, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes we get triggered by being tired or grumpy or in pain if somebody hurts our feelings or we're sad or lonely. You know, there's a lot of different triggers, and so part of awareness is learning our own personal triggers, and that's just part of deeper self-care, you know, realizing those triggers and what ones are okay and we can get past. Like, it sounds like you thought it through, you know, which is a tool.
Mm-hmm.
And or do we get carried away? You know, there's certain things that trigger me, and if I go down that path, then all bets are off, you know. And so it's learning that awareness. And part of what we'll also be learning throughout the program and we'll touch on today is everybody's body's different. So, for instance, and that's why I love to clean it up. in the beginning and just give you really clean food, because then your body can get to homeostasis and then you have a more accurate reading on what's true for you. Where if we just do like low calorie to lose weight, we don't really get a true reading of what food allergies you may have. And so for some people that I work with, they do their three basic meals, and then like my kids, they have what they want as excess or part of their maintenance. Like we would add in grain and potatoes and french fries and those kind of things. And some people's maintenance looks like the three basic, but a couple beers a week and maybe a meal out that's just a free-for-all, and that would be somebody's maintenance. Some people I find are allergic to flour or to sugar, meaning once they put it in their system, it sets up an uncontrollable craving, much like an alcoholic can't pick up a drink. And so part of my passion and my purpose in helping people with food is finding out the truth of your food story and helping you have acceptance and move through, you know, the awareness piece, the acceptance, and the action. And we'll talk about that today, too, the AAA.
Something amazing happened to me last week. I was going to a concert on Wednesday night, and I knew that that was, like, circumstance or situation or you know, a place for me that I was going to be tempted, or at least I thought I was going to be tempted. Mm-hmm. I prepared in advance, and we decided we were going to get Peruvian chicken, which, I mean, I didn't make it. I'm sure it had more fat in it than it should have had, you know, as far as being strictly speaking on the plan. But I got it. My husband and I went to the concert, and I ate the chicken for dinner, and I was so happy. Like, I was completely satisfied. And I had never felt that way before, like when I had been on a diet, in a place, planning my food, and then just completely satisfied with it. And it, don't get me wrong, I don't think I'm going to be there all the time, but it gave me hope that, oh yeah, like I could feel this way at an event where I wanted to, you know, have other stuff, and I could choose to have what I wanted, and I could still feel not deprived, completely fine, really happy. And I did. And just having that experience was really new, was very new for me. Because I feel like a lot of times on diets, like I'm kind of white-knuckling it.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel that way.
So it sounds like you felt empowered and satisfied and then hopeful.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I got to choose something that was pretty close to plan, or I felt was pretty close to plan, and was completely satisfying my taste buds, and I was really happy. It still felt like a treat, and I didn't need a bunch of other stuff.
That's awesome. You're doing so well, and I just want to say that.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm having my down times too, right? But I think just having that glimpse is helpful, yeah.
That's so helpful. And you, I think, raised your hand that you did do some of the awareness worksheet journaling?
Yeah.
Okay. So I love, you know, the things she brought up, and we're going to dive in deeper to those things today. And part of what makes this the longevity in having weight loss success for life is truly having awareness. And there is an awareness worksheet, and at the top it says AAA Spirit. This is something I learned in the rooms of 12-step. I don't remember which program. I think it was Al-Anon. But they talk about awareness, acceptance, and action. And I believe that this is key to anything in life, to having surrender and peace and contentment with what things you choose. And when you begin to consider your relationship with food, you need to tune into how you're feeling, what you're thinking, what you're reacting to physically, mentally, and emotionally. Awareness is the first tool to changing your relationship with food for life. Part of this awareness I negotiated with myself. This also ties in with grieving. When we give up something, which could be a way of life, it could be a particular food, it could be eating whatever we want, whenever we want, but whenever we give up something that is used for comfort or that is dear to us, we grieve. It doesn't matter what it is. And in grieving, part of the process is bargaining and denial and depression and anger, and we bounce, you know, we bounce in all these things. And so part of my journey with food was I was one of those people that's like, okay, so I'll eat this way Monday through Friday, and then I'll eat whatever I want on Sundays, or I'll only eat out one meal a week, whatever I want, and I'll just eliminate flour and sugar, but eat whatever I want. I'll only eat raw food. I mean, I negotiated food for so long of what is true. So anywhere you're at in your journey is not wrong. Nothing is wrong. It's all gathering information about what is true for your body. And what I have found is those things are not true for me. I was in a way of bargaining and denial of what my body can tolerate and what I can safely do to maintain my weight on a week-to-week basis. So all I really want to invite you into, and the way that I designed this program, is really cleaning your body up, and that would be eating the foods that are on your program. You know, it does different things. It helps you lose weight fast. It gets your metabolism healthy and healed. It also cleans your body up so you have a clear panel to start adding foods back in when that time comes. And I'll walk you through that, and you'll know how to do that, and you'll know how to add foods in safely so that you can stay in awareness of what works for you and what doesn't. So in the awareness worksheet, my hope for you would be to eat really clean while you're on this program, because you'll lose weight faster. If you don't, you know, if you eat off-program foods, I want to invite you to look at what was the trigger that took you there. Talked earlier about a trigger that she had, and she didn't indulge in the food, but she was aware, and she looked at that and looked at the choice and made a different choice. But you get stressed, and then you're triggered, and you go into it. How do you feel physically after? How do you feel mentally? How do you feel emotionally? When you eat on program, like she discussed making a choice of being at an event where normally she might have felt deprived, but she made a choice and she was like content and empowered and happy and feeling really good about that and having hope. So when you eat on program, how do you feel physically? How do you feel mentally? How do you feel emotionally? You may feel both good and bad eating on or off program. This exercise on the awareness worksheet is about honesty and awareness, not judgment. You just write your truth so you have an honest inventory of your relationship with food. Journaling is a super powerful tool and maybe one that you'll adopt into your own design for living. So I, on Club Shed, posted my food story, and I encourage you to read it just so you can get an idea of how to make your own food story. And this, you don't have to make it near as long as I did, but it's a really honest assessment of where you've been with your relationship with food. And that's what part of this journey is about. It isn't only getting you to lose the weight, but it's getting you to keep it off. And part of that is learning awareness and relationship with food. So there's a document. It's called Story and Positive Negative Payoff. Document. So you'll write your own food story, and it doesn't have to be long, just true. And I would invite you to read mine. It's a couple minute read, and it'll give you an idea of how to do that. There's only three things on there. Number two is write the payoff. We're going to take 1 minute to do some writing, and then we're going to share. So positive payoff of eating how you have been eating the last year, not on this program, but just kind of how you've been eating the last year that got you where you are with your weight. So some examples of positive payoff are taste, fun times, friends with food, like the social aspect. And so we're going to talk about some of those positive payoffs. So I'm going to put some music on, and I want you just to, if you're not able to journal, just take inventory in your mind's eye of what are the positive payoffs of being able to eat the way you ate for the last year. going to look at what is the diminishing return or what is the negative consequences of how you had been eating over the last year. Examples is I'm overweight, I feel tired, I'm fat, I don't trust myself because maybe, I mean, that was a big thing for me was I'd promise in the morning, okay, today's going to be the day I'm going to do this to lose weight. And then by the end of the day, I'd be face down in the food. And, you know, I began not to trust myself anymore. Like, I am never going to get this because I can't trust myself. And that permeates other areas of your life. So I just want you to invite you to be really honest. What are the true diminishing return negative consequences? Mine was pre-diabetic. It was being fat. It was being moody. It was not trusting myself. So write down, what's the diminishing return of how you've eaten over the last year? So I would love to hear a couple shares. Who's willing to share the positive payoff of eating what they want, and who's willing to share the diminishing return or negative consequences?
Hi, Heidi.
Hi,
Bob. let's see, positive feelings about my poor diet. one of the things was I didn't have to think about what I was eating.
Yeah.
I had no plan.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun to pig out socially. And something I discovered is the more I would drink, the more I would want to eat. And I got in the habit of having cheese and crackers when I got home, you know, waiting to eat dinner, which I would prepare myself. I would have cheese and crackers. And it was a habit I got into, and it was a pleasant habit. I love good cheese, and I love good crackers. So I got into a lot of bad habits, and I didn't think about them. And poor planning. So those are just a few of the positive things.
Yeah.
It sort of took away, it was an irresponsibility. I didn't have to worry about it because I was worried about other things, you know, business matters primarily.
So it felt like some freedom in there, like not having to worry about that. Is that the positive payoff?
Yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
a good way to put it.
Yeah.
You know, part of relaxing, part of unwinding would be the joy of stuffing my face with food that I enjoyed. So anyway, those are some of the positive things. Do you want me to say anything about the negative or just...
Yeah, one moment, though. You have a pen and paper, right?
Yeah.
So I would love for you to write this down. I need... relaxation, comfort, joy, ease, and lack of responsibility. Because those are some of the things that you mentioned were positive payoffs. Like those were needs you had that you met with food, right?
Yeah.
So, part of why I'm doing this and everyone else can reflect on their own is, you know, the positive payoffs always meet a need. When we have a positive payoff, it meets some kind of need. And so if you can pull your needs out of the positive payoff, you can start looking at how do I meet those needs in a different way? Because those needs still need to be met. They're definite, beautiful needs that need to be met. So just an example of that. And I'd love for you to share the negative consequences or diminishing return.
You would? Okay. let's see. The negative, it was a reduced energy level. I wasn't sleeping well at night. And of course, I felt like the Pillsbury Doughboy, looked like it too, with a bulging waistline. So my image was affected, and I have ego in that area, and I just didn't feel good about myself. Also, the fact that there is diabetes in the family, so I have to really give more concern to weight reduction for that reason. Sexual energy suffered significantly, and I found myself reluctant to exercise or to exert myself. So just a few of the things.
No, thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. And I'd love for you to share how much weight you've lost, because you've done a fantastic job.
Well, when I weighed myself Friday morning, which I'm not supposed to do, I know, but I did anyway, I was down from my starting weight was 216 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Friday morning, I weighed 202.5.
Yay.
Then, well, wait a minute. I went to this huge affair. It's an annual picnic with this club that I belong to, and it was a fabulous affair. And then the joy of socializing over food and blah blah blah. And there was bread, and I have really been successfully staying away from bread. And so anyway, I weighed myself this morning, and I'm 205. So I, but the wonderful thing about this program is that I am cutting down in the portions,
mm-hmm.
and I find it easy to do,
mm-hmm.
and it's very comfortable, and I don't mind cutting down the amount of food that I ingest, and I enjoy salads, and I'm eating a lot of salads, and. So the fact that I boosted my weight to 2.5 pounds, it doesn't bother me because I'm right back on the program.
Great.
And and I also went out one evening, went to the symphony,
mm-hmm.
and I had to take my date to dinner. I tried to get out of it, but she insisted. So I had a nice fish dinner, no bread, no potatoes, so fish and vegetables. And a glass of wine, and that was it. And so that didn't have a negative effect because you know, the weight still went down.
Yep, beautifully.
So that's
done.
Where I am today.
Mm-hmm. I love that you shared that, and I love that you weighed and then you weighed Monday because you got to see. And often when people do flour, like the bread or sugar, it causes inflammation. And that's just a fact in anybody's body. And so it does show up on the scale, and it comes off fast. So that's good. And it sounds like you don't have a negative mindset around that at all. So that's fantastic. And great awareness. I mean, this is what we're learning, is this awareness. And we can start to make conscious decisions of, do we want to do that? Do we not? And I love the permission that you're granting yourself and not making yourself wrong for anything, because it's all right and fantastic.
You know, I don't feel guilty about what I did this weekend. Not one ounce of guilt do I feel. It was very, very pleasant. But I have a very high resolve to get down to my target weight, which is around 200 pounds. And I'm going to do it. I will be 200 pounds before the end of the program.
Yay! You're really close, so a great job, and thank you so much for your share.
My pleasure.
All right. So I love the shares today. I mean, they're just really segueing wonderfully into the topics we're covering. And so I want to use a little bit of his piece of looking. So why do we look at these things? Why do we look at the positive and why do we look at the negative? And this is part of awareness. So we're taking an honest inventory, right? We're taking inventory of what is true for ourselves. And then we're getting to the concept of choice. And choice can keep us on the teeter-totter. If you're smart at all, you can analyze things, pros and cons, until you die and argue either side. So my invitation to you is to be so clear on your vision and so committed to your choice, just like he spoke of, like, I am committed to doing this, and that there's no conflict, because conflict keeps you stuck in denial, and that you can, you know, continue doing anything that you want. And so it's kind of like, I love the analogy of marriage, and this doesn't work for everybody. Some people have non-monogamous marriages, which is totally fine. So this is not my soapbox about marriage, but it's one analogy. So if you choose to go into a marriage and you're committing to be monogamous, then you're committing to one person forever, right? That's like looking at food. Oh my gosh, am I doing this forever? And if you went into that commitment really hesitant, like, oh God, I'm going to miss out on everybody else, and you got into the marriage and you're pretty happy because you have a really wonderful partner, but every time you leave the house, you're looking at Judy, Bob, and Dick, and Harry, and you're kind of like lusting after them and feeling really deprived because you have this really nice thing at home, but gosh, it's just not so interesting. Day after day, it's the same thing. And can you see where that would cause so much pain? Pain in your marriage, pain in your life. You'd feel deprived all the time. So people that are happy, they choose, they stay in gratitude for the choice that they made. They might get tempted and see wonderful things on the outside, but they have one thought and then it stops. I mean, that's human nature. And it's exactly the same with food commitment. We can go into this commitment to lose weight, and our choices right now are more narrow, right? We're committing to more narrow choices. And we could be like, oh, it's pretty good, but it's not as wonderful as lasagna and cake and cookies and parties and all this abundant buffets, you know. And we can be miserable, or we can stand in our commitment and our choice and our excitement about the payoffs of what we're getting. And so I really want you to get clear on your payoffs, your choice, and your vision. So you can actually be really happy with your choice and your commitment, and you can change that mindset of deprivation by some of the things we talked about. Let's talk a little bit about triggers, because triggers are what take us out. And just like a marriage, you know, you're going to go out and you're going to see people that you might be like, ooh, bing, bing, I'm attracted to them or whatever. But it can stop there. And so the first thought that we have about food, or if we see something on TV or we read something in a book or we're at a party, that's not our fault. But as we indulge in that thought and we start the fantasy in our mind, then our neural pathways begin to fire. And it's really hard to abstain from the old habit, which have been to indulge in that, right? So part of retraining the brain and retraining the mindset is to have other tools in place so that when you have that stimulation, be it visual, whatever the trigger is, it can be a visual thing, it can be going to a party, it can be being tired, it can be going home at night and his habit of cheese and crackers. That can be a trigger just that time of day, going home and being like, where's the cheese and crackers? So we have to, while we're changing behavior, have other things in place. And part of that other thing in place is a choice. It's a commitment. It's thinking it through, like talking about the payoff or the diminishing return. The best check-in question that I love, and it's on the vision worksheet, is if you're really clear on your vision, which is what weight you want to be, how do you want to feel, how do you want your health to be, how do you want to look on stage when you're talking to people, any number of these things that motivate us, you can ask, is what I'm about to do, does it support my vision? Does this bite get me closer to my vision? And I love that because it's just a stopping point. It's like, if the answer is no, then let's do something else. Let's print that fast action modality sheet and do that. Let's take 10 deep breaths. Let's pause. Let's put something in between us and the destroying part of our vision. So I really ask you to be in the choice, in the commitment, and in the acceptance of the commitment, the joy of the commitment. not the conflict where you're like, well, I'm doing this because I have to, but I really would rather do that. And you stay, you rob yourself of the joy of being really committed. And I want you to think about that word deprive too. Instead of I'm depriving myself by being on a eating program, what are you depriving yourself of, you know, negative-wise? Like, I'm depriving myself of diabetes. I'm depriving myself of being fat. I'm depriving myself of, what are the negative consequences you're actually depriving yourself of? And that's good deprivation. I want to deprive my life of those things. So really having that mindset shift. Part of awareness is really having surrender. And I had to really get to hopelessness and despair, and I had to prove to myself that there wasn't an easier way by failing over and over and over again. And so I want you to know, in putting this together, I researched, what is the truth about food? What is the truth about weight loss? What is the easiest way? I am all about the easiest way. And truthfully, cleaning your body up, getting really truthful, getting aware is easier than the other ways out there. So we're striving for progress and not perfection. And that's, you know, really important to remember. And a lot of you spoke on that today, that, you know, you haven't done perfect and you don't need to do perfect because this is your life. This is your life for life. It's not something you're going to do and quit. At least that's my hope for you, that you would find this as your basic nutrition and that you add other things in according to the truth about your own body. So in negative thinking, if we apply it to the awareness acceptance action, we can look at, my awareness is I'm feeling unfulfilled right now. The acceptance is that this makes me sad. The action is years of thinking this way. And so, you know, then I can plug in the opposite. The awareness is I want to be fulfilled. The acceptance is what makes me happy. And then what's the action that actually makes me happy and doing something different. And so we can plug that into our life. So we'll do some more writing. So I want you to, and if you don't have a pen, just do this in your mind's eye. What are your particular triggers that cause you to slip or that cause you to crave? And like I said, a trigger can be visual, it can be watching a commercial, it can be showing up at a buffet or a party. It can also be an emotional trigger of being in pain or sad or tired. So I want you to just write down right now some of your own personal triggers that could cause you sabotage. We're going to do a little bit more writing, but I want to share this with you about negative thoughts or focus. You know, and it would be a negative focus to be focusing on something that takes you away from your vision. So the primary pattern that controls you in your life is your own mind. Your thoughts set into motion create waves of your reality. One's own thought is one's world. What a person thinks is what he becomes. So your mind works through habit, like we were talking about a habit of, you know, thinking something and then indulging in it around food. The habitual, unchanging, and repetitive ways of your thinking create grooves in your brain or neural pathways in which your actions run. The more any habit is indulged in, the more easily the mind runs in that groove. So to change that, we must do something different. We must take a different action. And so all of these tools that I'm teaching you, the journaling, the writing, the modalities, really being committed to your vision and thinking that through, these are things to change those neural pathways, which has been studied in human behavior, create the longevity of change in human behavior. So I also want you to write now, what are your barriers to fully stepping into the commitment? Like if you're still a little bit like somewhere else with the commitment, either what are your barriers to eating this way every day, or what are your barriers to fully choosing this commitment to your vision? And just journal a bit on that or think on that. Personal triggers are or what their barriers are from being fully committed to the actions to meet their vision?
Okay. For me, stress. I have a company which provides me with a great deal of stress. Another trigger is a frustration. When I need, I feel I need a pat on the head or a reward of some kind, then food often provides that.
Yeah.
Those are just a few of the things. And with respect to the other question you asked, I'm not a cook, so my menu choices are limited, you know, to what I can do easily. So unless I expand my desire to cook by trying lots of new menus and things of that kind, I could get bored and stray off menu.
So boredom is something that you need the variety.
It's a potential. It's a potential. I really haven't gotten to that point yet where I'm bored with what I've been preparing. But it's just a thought that occurred to me that I think makes some sense.
Thank you for sharing those triggers. So I hear a lot of needs in there again of things that you're needing that you met with food. And so do you have any ideas of your own self of how you can meet some of those needs to de-stress or to have comfort without food?
That's a good question, and I'm dealing with it. There's so much stress in this particular business that I have that it can affect me. My desire to achieve my goal is so great that I'm not letting the stress get to me. You were asking for triggers. Well, that was a trigger,
yeah.
But I recognize it. I'm aware that it is a trigger.
Yeah.
And so I'm not responding as I would do in the past. Cheese and crackers, you know, that That's a very satisfying thing. It's easy to prepare. I love the cheese and I love the crackers. And I mean, it's just so easy to put away a, you know, a quarter of a pound of cheese.
Yes.
And a dozen crackers, you know. I mean, it's
yeah.
And I appreciate the way you described the habit and the groove that we get into when we have a habit. You need to be, as you point out very well, that you need to be aware that you have this habit, and what motivates you to have the habit. And it's important that we change that motivation, change
and
that reason.
It sounds like, and it's so wonderful for you that your commitment is so big to your vision that it's outweighing the other things right now, and it's a wonderful thing to lean on, and I encourage everybody to get that clear and that committed. And I want to invite you into looking at some of those needs that you wrote down today and start exploring other ways to meet those needs, because in the longevity of your life, those needs are going to get to be met, because your commitment will come and go, and when it's going, you want other things to meet those needs rather than food. And some of those things, you know, we'll talk about all the time on different calls, so I'm not sending you out to the wolves on your own to figure that out. We'll talk about how to get those needs met, but I want you to just start thinking about that and being aware of, like, hey, I have these beautiful needs, and how can I meet them in different ways. And the modality
retiring,
here,
excuse me, retiring would solve a lot of the problems. But I'm not ready yet. Not ready yet.
Okay. Great work. And I love your commitment and your conviction. Thank you so much for sharing.
Sure. Thank you.
Does anybody else like to share? I want to encourage all of you to continue your awareness, to really look at what are the positive payoffs of eating this way, and really, you know, anchor yourself in that commitment, anchor yourself in the mindset change that you're not depriving yourself of anything. You're making a choice that's giving you the results you want. And when you really focus on those results and ask yourself, is the actions that I'm doing backing up the results that I want, you can get more clear and more committed. And when we take choice off the table, like the other choice, the conflict goes away and the sadness goes away and we quit bargaining. And so it's all a process, and wherever you're at in the process is perfect, and there's no wrong way to do this. It's a lifetime journey of negotiation with yourself, believe me. And so just giving yourself permission to be wherever you're at. And I do encourage you to print out all the documents and really work on that, because, you know, just eating this way is not going to keep you doing this the rest of your life, but doing the work that's in this program and the awareness and the journaling is going to help you. And I just want to read again what I read at the beginning of the call. Success comes not from being timid, but from committing yourself fully to realizing your dream and vision. Hold the clear intention of success, and it shall come about. And so what I would love is to do a modality, and I'll explain this more. On our next call, we're going to do just repatterning and coaching, so you guys are going to need to be active and have questions and want to be involved, and we'll really do some repatterning. But repatterning is like changing the radio dial. So if we want to be on the station of what I just read, we can do a modality that is like pushing the button to change a TV channel or changing the radio dial, and we can resonate that. So we're going to end today's call with a modality to really be dialed into that statement that I just read. And we are going to do a contact on the kidney meridian, and this actually gives you energy. So if you're ever craving caffeine or you're tired, this is a great thing you can do in under 1 minute. You know, a lot of times we turn to food because it's fast. So this is a fast-acting modality that helps you have energy. So you're going to stand up, and you can do this after we get off the call too. If you're holding the phone, you can do this with one hand. After you get off the call, do it with both hands. So on your kidneys, which is above the waistline, below where the bra strap would be, you're going to take your hand behind your back, so your thumb and your pointer finger would be on it, and you just smack your back. smack, 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 smack as you're standing up, and this wakes up the kidney meridian and gives you a better boost than caffeine does. So nice deep breath, doing the kidney smack, can relax down. So I'd invite you, after you get off the call, to see how you're feeling. Do that for about 60 seconds and see the kind of energy that's moving in your body, to just bring awareness that you can do things in under a minute or under 3 minutes that give you what you need without food. Thank you so much for being on the call today. I'm excited for all of you. Please call me and book your individual sessions. I'll post my number again on Club Shed today so you have it right there. Excellent job, and thank you for your shares. And that concludes our call today.